The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, Sunshine, and welcome to She Was a Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. Welcome to episode 30. This is the Christmas Court Report, and I am Courtney Mangan, your host. I'm very excited to get into this one. We already have had, obviously, my family come in for the Christmas episode, Christmas with the Mangans, and now this is a solo one. And basically what I'm going to talk to you about today is all the best Christmas movies, music, shows, products, gifting guides, all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, let's just get into it. The fire starter for today, I feel like I had to do a really upbeat song, although my favorite Christmas carols, which I'll get into a little bit later, are more the slow ones. To be in the fire starter playlist, it has to be a bit more of an exciting one. So I've gone for the iconic All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. All right, let's ignite today's topic, the Christmas Court Report. Kicking off with The Verdict Is In, which is the new segment I started last month, which is when I watch some new things and then give you my verdict. This month I watched Noël, which is a new Christmas movie from last year, I think, on the Disney Channel. Well, not the Disney Channel, the Disney streaming service. Is it Disney Plus or is it, that's Apple Plus? Just Disney? You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so basically Santa's daughter must take over the family business when her father retires and her brother is supposed to inherit the Santa role, gets cold feet. So it stars Anna Kendrick, Bill Hader, Shirley MacLaine and Bill Eichner, who's hilarious. And it was actually really cute. I didn't have very high hopes because I feel like when you watch Christmas movies, like there's so many classics out there and nothing can really penetrate you know, something from when you were young, I think. Like nothing ever will live up to the magic of when you're a little bit younger and you always watch those movies, you know, or movies that you repeat every single year. They just become, you know, they just mean so much more to you. But this movie was actually really good. I really enjoyed it. It was so cute. It like perfectly captured the magic of Christmas. It also had some female empowerment in there, which you know I'm all about. So it was actually like a really good Christmas movie and I highly recommend it. Moving on to Holiday. Now, this movie has been getting some bad feedback on the gram and it's from Netflix. It stars Emma Roberts and Aussie Luke Bracey, but it also has Kristen Chenoweth and Jessica Capshaw, who you might know from Grey's Anatomy. She is Arizona. And then Kristen Chenoweth is from Wicked, who you might know her from that. But look. This is the storyline. So fed up with being single on holidays, two strangers agree to be each other's platonic plus one for all of their like holiday things like Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, all that kind of stuff, St. Patrick's Day, New Year's Eve. They just agree to be each other's platonic plus one. And then obviously someone catches feelings along the way. It's a rom-com. It has been given such terrible reviews. And to be honest, it wasn't that bad. Like in rom-com standards, it wasn't too bad. Christmas movie, no. It is not a good Christmas film. It does not capture the essence of the Christmas spirit. In fact, anal sex is discussed in this movie, and that to me can never equate to a Christmas spirit film. Do you know what I'm saying? But like it's not that deep. Like it's the usual like girl hates guy, guy hates girl. Spends lots of time together, become attracted to another. Oh, look what's happened. You know, the usual rom-com thing. Like there's some stuff that's not that great for like female empowerment in there, but it's pretty mindless. To be honest, I wouldn't waste my time on it. But if you've got nothing else, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. And then one other thing that I did try was Dash and Lily, which is a Netflix series and it's like a TV show all around Christmas. So it's 8 episodes, I believe. And it's basically like this guy, Dash, goes into a bookstore and there's like this notebook and it has a bunch of clues on it. So it just ends up being like this guy and this girl, these two like teenage kids passing around this notebook all through New York, like sending each other on like little puzzles and scavenger hunt kind of things to get to know each other. And they don't actually meet each other for some time into the series. It's just actually really cute. and has like a very Christmassy vibe to it. It is very like teenage drama kind of Gossip Girl vibes to it. But it is, and it is quite innocent. I believe it was G-rated, but it was just really sweet. So yeah, if you haven't got much else going on, it's just a cute little series to binge. All right, my next topic is, or segment is, Never Have I Ever. And the movie that I decided to watch was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And that is a 1989 film. A lot of you, when I asked what is the classic Christmas film that I hadn't seen, put this forward. Now, it's Chevy Chase. So I knew what I was going in for here. I knew it was going to be a ridiculous comedy. That's what he's known for. And basically, if you don't know the storyline, Clark Griswold, he's played by Chevy Chase, he's the dad of the family, is really into Christmases and promises to make it, you know, the best Christmas ever, until everything sort of flips on its head and it's a domino effect of one thing terrible happens after another and nothing can go right at Christmas. It's just like a disaster movie kind of thing. Look, I'm not hugely into dumb kind of sense of humor like that, to be honest, says she who's obsessed with Ricky Gervais. But I don't know. I just, nothing really made me laugh out loud. I found it to be quite predictable. I'm not really into comedies in that kind of, in a Christmas movie. I'm more like the magical lovey-dovey kind of ones. I can understand why people really like this movie and they've like been attached to it since the 90s, but it won't be something that I'll be adding to my Christmas playlist every year, let's just say. I'm glad I've seen it. I now understand when people talk about it, but I wasn't huge on it. I'm sorry if that was like, you know, someone's favorite movie, of which there were many of you that messaged me saying that it was. So sorry. I'm just like not into like the laughs and the disastrous stuff happening, you know? All right, so let me tell you about my favorite movies of all time for Christmas that I will watch every single year. Number one, The Grinch. That is the pinnacle. I talked about that on Christmas with the Mangans and how I read the book every year. It's just like, oh my God, so absolutely magical. That, you know, the magic of Christmas, that it's not about the gifts, it's about the feeling. Oh, I bloody love it. It's the version with Jim Carrey, not the cartoon version that was more recent. And it just is just, oh my God, I just watch it every year and my heart does grow two sizes that day. Like, honestly, I just love it so much. If you haven't seen The Grinch, get around it. Number two, Miracle on 34th Street. Now, I think there's a really, really old black and white one. I've never seen that. I've just watched the one with the little girl who played Matilda. And this movie is just like everything. I love those ones that it's about, like, you know, someone doesn't believe in it and then they're turned around to really see the spirit of Christmas. You know, someone's like a Grinch or they're a Scrooge and they're like, oh, bah humbug, you know, and then they're just turned on its head and they become full of the Christmas spirit. And that's why I try to do it with everybody that DMs me and they're like, oh, Christmas too early. I'm like, no. Christmas is wonderful. I've actually had a few people say like, oh, I never really get into Christmas, but after seeing your Insta stories and listening to your Christmas podcast, like I'm really into it this year. And that is just like wonderful. I just love that I'm spreading the Christmas joy. And I feel like this movie does that so well. And, you know, Richard Attenborough plays Santa and he just does such a good job. Like I feel like he is Santa and it doesn't feel like, you know, like a lot of movies, like they put wigs on them and beards and they pack on fake weight and all that kind of stuff. This feels like he was made to play Santa. And it's basically, in case you don't know what it's about a little girl who's like with a single mom and her mom doesn't believe in Christmas and she's kind of taught her daughter not to believe in it and all she wants for Christmas is a family. And then this guy sort of rolls up into their life, who is Santa. They don't know that, and starts like working in the shopping center that the mum is sort of the manager of, and then he starts babysitting the daughter and just, you know, things unfold and Santa is around. It's just a good time. Next up, Love Actually. I don't need to explain what that is. I think we all know what Love Actually is, and it's just I think I really like it as well because there's all these different perspectives on how people are having their Christmas, and I think London is such a great place for a Christmas film because it's like cold and rugged up and it's just like, I think England does that really good job of just capturing the Christmas spirit, even though, and I had someone in my DMs say like, is it weird to listen to Christmas songs about like chestnuts roasting on the open fire or whatever when it's like so hot here. And I'm like, no, my chestnuts are roasting on my open fire and my barbecue. But no, I still love watching all these Christmas movies in the cold. And even though it's not the same here, it's still, you still get that feeling. It's still there, guys. So Love, Love Actually. The other one is The Holiday, similar kind of vibe. One of my favorite soundtracks of all time, as you would know if you're following my time blocking Spotify playlist, that score from Hans Zimmer features heavily in that playlist. And it's just another really good feel-good movie. Jack Black is so good in that film. I know you're supposed to love Jude Law the most, but I love me some Jack Black. Then obviously Home Alone 1 and 2. It's not often that a sequel will make a top list, but Home Alone does a great job. Love those movies. And New York, I think, is another place that really gives that essence of Christmas. And Carol of the Bells is also one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. That da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Love. And that's from that movie as well. And then, of course, Elf. Now, I know that I've already said, like, oh, I'm not into the comedy ones, and Elf is a comedy, but it's just so innocent the way that it's done. There's something about the Lampoon's movie, I guess, that feels like more like an adult comedy, whereas Elf feels like a children's comedy, which I think I like a bit more because it's still got that essence about it, that naivety that I really like. So those are my top Christmas movies. If yours didn't feature, I'm sorry, don't come for me. But those are the ones that I watch every single year. All right, my top TV episodes. Now, this is a bit of a weird one, and it's just more like rehash these episodes if you've already seen the TV show. If you haven't seen the TV show, I would not suggest just going and watching one Christmas episode because that might like ruin the show for you completely. But these are my favorite TV shows that have had excellent Christmas episodes. So The West Wing, it's actually a really big, like it's the pinnacle of West Wing. They do a Christmas episode basically every season, and they're always really important episodes. One's Noel, there's one called Holy Night, one's called In Excelsis Deo, and they are just some of the all-time best episodes of The West Wing because the underpinning message of Christmas, of hope and love and that spirit really helps play into the storyline and just give it this extra drama and sort of that, I don't know why it is, but things feel so much more important at Christmas time. And then when you're working with the White House, you know, it just gives this extra gravitas. I don't know how to really describe it, but there's some great episodes of The West Wing. Bones has an episode called The Santa in the Slush. And now this is an iconic episode because it's where we, spoiler alert, where you see the first kind of kiss from the two lead characters. And so that's why that's kind of a special episode under the mistletoe. The OC, the best Christmas cut ever from season one. Now, no one can dispute this. The OC does Christmas so good because of Chrismica, and that is a great episode. I absolutely love that, where they try and bring like Hanukkah and Christmas together. Loved it. The Office USA Christmas party in season two is a bloody hilarious one. The Office UK, theirs is just like a Christmas special. And that was basically the ending of The Office. After that Christmas special, they came back after two seasons, did the special, and then that was kind of it. We never heard from it again. So it's kind of like a very special moment in history for The Office. All right, next up, Friends, the Christmas Armadillo episode in season seven. You might remember, well, when Ross dresses up as the Christmas Armadillo. Christmas at Downton Abbey, and that's just like a really old-fashioned show, obviously, set in England, so it has that snow and that really old vintage vibe to it, which is really nice, and there's like a really great sort of moment in that special, like that you kind of wait for many seasons. And then Seinfeld, the strike episode, which is where we get the iconic Festivus for the rest of us quote. So those are my favourite TV episodes that feature Christmas. Moving on to what to listen to this Christmas. Now, I have already made available my personal playlist, which you can get on Spotify. I will link it in the show notes for you, or you can just type my name into Spotify, and that's available. I have three playlists there now. So I've got those Christmas lights, I've got a time blocking one, and then I've got obviously my fire starter playlist as well. So there's all three there for you. First up, Christmas lights. I talked about this with my parents. This is my favorite Christmas carol of all time. I actually play it all year round. And I think because it's by Coldplay, which is one of my favorite bands, it doesn't feel like it's exclusive to Christmas. Like, it's like, oh, just a song by a band just happens to be about Christmas. There's just something magical that when I'm feeling sad, stressed, when I put it on, it just calms me right down because, like, what's better than Christmas lights? The answer is nothing. All right, next up, as I said, Carol of the Bells from Home Alone. Love that song. Another one that I love that's more of a quiet one is called River. And funnily enough, one of my favorite versions, if you can even find it, is by Robert Downey Jr. He sings it on an episode of Ally McBeal, and it's just so beautiful. I love it so much. Ben Platt does a great version and so does Sarah McLachlan. So go check that out. Where Are You Christmas, which is by Faith Hill, which again is not the easiest song to find. That is the credits song from The Grinch and it's actually written by Mariah Carey. Fun fact, I love that song. Anything Mariah, anything Michael Bublé, obviously, anything John Legend. The Christmas at Hogwarts score by John Williams is just so Christmassy and it makes you picture like that big room at Hogwarts where everyone sits to have their Christmas feast. Just magical. And then Christmas Tree Farm by Taylor Swift. That has actually made the list. It's a new one. And I bloody love it. It's just so joyful and happy and you just feel so, you know, I'm just going to say joyful and Christmas spirit about 16 times in this episode because that's what it is, okay? And you just can't escape it. All right, quickly just talking about recipes. Now, I'm not going to give recipes, but this is something I'm going to probably share on my Insta story in the coming weeks. These are the kind of things that I always make at Christmas. Now, they're not even Christmas recipes, but they are things that I always have at parties and when I bring food or I have food at my house that always happens at Christmas. One is my sweet and savory meatballs. It's a weird flex, I know. Now, they're sort of an entree vibe where you put like a toothpick in and just pick out one meatball and then you have like bite-sized meatballs. And they have like a fruit chutney in them for the sauce, but then the actual mixture itself has like a curry powder in it, the actual meatball. So it has this savory with this sweet essence. I don't know. It just is so fucking good, guys. I don't want to gloat, but everybody loves them when I bring them out, you know, and even people who have turned vegetarian say like, oh, I wish I could have those meatballs. It's just, you know, how it is. It's not my recipe, so I can't fully claim it. My cousin made them and I stole them from her and I've sort of amended the recipe a little bit myself over the years. But boy, are they great. Now, they take a fucking shit ton of time to make and they're definitely not a busy girl hack, that's for sure. But they are a winner at every party, so I will make them on my Insta story at some point over Christmas for you to see. Rocky Road. Now, you're thinking like, oh, nuts, you know, classic Rocky Road. No, no. I'm going for like if, you know, Willy Wonka made a Rocky Road, this is it. You melt some chocolate down. Dairy milk, preferably Cadbury's. And then you chop up Allen snakes. Only red and purple. The other colours are just not good, so you don't include them, okay? My dad will eat them on the side. They don't go to waste. Dad will eat them. Don't worry. I myself will not be subjecting myself to subpar colours and flavours of Allen snakes. So I used to include blue, but I believe that they no longer have blue in the Allen snakes anymore. So you just chop them up into like maybe 1 centimeter pieces. Chop, chop, choppy, chop, 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 chop. Then you get the small marshmallows that you get in like the cooking section. A few of those in. Mix it in with the melted, what's it called? The melted chocolate. And then just put blobs on a tray of it, like spoonfuls. And then just shove it in the fridge. And that's it. Done. And they're a treat. Let me tell you, they are a treat. Sugary deliciousness, and everybody loves those at Christmas as well. Then also Corinthians, which Sam talked about, and chocolate sultanas from Cadbury. They're always a staple at Christmas. They're obviously not a recipe, but they are food. And then finally is my mum's / my auntie's Mexican dip. So my auntie originally made it, and then my mum has stolen it and made it her own. And that dip is fucking iconic. Everybody in the office craves it. They ask it all the time. Lang actually asks for it as her birthday present every year. And this year she goes, for Secret Santa, whoever has me, can you just ask Maggie to make me the dip? She just is obsessed with it. So I'm definitely going to put that on my Insta story in the coming weeks. I'm going to try and get my mum to do it on camera with me because she's the one that actually makes it and I don't want to pretend like it's me whipping up a storm. But she's a little camera shy, so we'll see what we can do. but I will share that with you. So those are my kind of like iconic things. My auntie also makes a lettuce potato. And if that's not at Christmas, then it's not Christmas at all, if you know what I'm saying. You know, she also makes a really amazing, as I think as we spoke about on the Mangan's podcast, an amazing strawberry shortcake as well, but that doesn't get seen as often. But she uses as the base Kingston biscuits, which usually people use like Nice or Nice, however you want to pronounce it, biscuits, but she used Kingston. Oh, Kensington. Kingston? Wow, now I can't remember the name of the biscuits, but you know the ones. And it is a treat, let me tell you. All right, moving on to gift guide. So what I wanted to do was give you some ideas of things that I sort of go-to things for me with gifts. Now, obviously a very personalized gift, knowing exactly what the person wants is, you know, the perfect thing to do. But, you know, often at Christmas you're getting friends, partners, if you know what I'm saying, like that's one word, like your best friend's boyfriend, you know, that kind of thing. And then you're getting parents' gifts, you're getting your own partner gifts, you're getting work colleagues, you're getting bosses, you're getting something for the postman. There's all these different people that you're having to get, and not everybody you're able to think of something personal for. So these are kind of those general gifts that I feel like are something a little bit different, not just like here's a voucher. You know, so number one is personalized gifts. So getting something with initials on it, I think, is always a winner. Yeah, personalized gifts, I think, are just really good with, you just go the extra mile, and we often will give gifts like this many times. We've done like, you know, stationery from Kiki K, the Daily Edited, beach towels with initials on them, all that kind of stuff. People love that. It feels like you've gone the extra mile and you've really thought about them. And so I highly recommend that. Number two, actually, I'm not going to number them because I'm never going to remember the numbers, is scrubs, body scrubs. The Body Shop does some great body scrubs. Mecca does some really good ones from Soap and Glory, which are a cheaper price point, about $20. And then there's the ones I've talked about before, which is the Sol de Janeiro ones, which is like $60, $70 for a body scrub. I think a body scrub is really good because sometimes people don't actually buy that for themselves. Everyone has like moisturizers and they have, you know, like body washes and stuff, but people don't really get a nice body scrub, and just having that extra nice scent in the shower when you're getting a bit of exfoliation going on is really nice. And so when you go to the Body Shop, they have so many different packs. Mecca have lots of packs too. Sephora, where you can get all of these things in like a pack of like a nice moisturizer with the scrub with a lip balm kind of vibe. And I think that that's really good. Another one is candles with a really nice scent. Yeah, and don't go for just like a generic one, okay? Don't be giving someone vanilla. Also, don't give them a Christmas scent because that has like an expiry date on it. Give them like a Peter Alexander Glasshouse collab. You know, they do some really great limited edition ones. There's like one called Coconut Crunch, which is in like a gold glass jar. Wow. That thing, no, it's not coconut, it's caramel crunch. Sorry, guys. That thing will change your bloody life. That's the candle you need to be getting out. There's also like a movie night one from Peter Alexander and Glasshouse. It's like popcorn and caramel. Oh, that one's a good time too. Just go the extra mile with the candle. All right. Next up is a silk pillowcase. I myself have asked for many years whenever people, like my friends and stuff, like, what's on your list for your birthday and your Christmas? I always put a silk pillowcase in there. I'm yet to get one. I can't, like, it's $100-something. I can't get myself across the line to buy it, even though it's so good for your skin, so good for your hair. I'm just like, it seems wasteful. So I feel like if I'm like that, there'd be plenty of other people thinking, I'm not spending $100 in a pillowcase, but it's such a nice luxurious gift to get from somebody else. You know, it's just so good to avoid wrinkles, and also it's really good for the condition of your hair and also for cleanliness for your skin. So if you get like acne and things like that, so silk pillowcases are meant to be really good for that. Another great one is a coffee table book. Bookface at Pacific Fair is a really good place to get coffee table books, or you can just jump on like bookdepository.com. They have some good books as well. So it's like Dior, Chanel, or then there's some really great photography ones like Slim Aarons that you can get. There's some really cool ones for different bands that you can get too. So I highly recommend a coffee table book because sometimes those things are always so expensive and people don't really like to buy them for themselves sometimes. And it's just such a heavy, big gift that has this good perceived value, especially if you can get it during the Black Friday sales. I think today is Black Friday, so get on that. That really makes it feel like, oh, this is something special. Also, it's kind of like giving something designer without actually giving something designer. You know, you give them a Chanel book. You don't have to do the Chanel price point, but you still get them something designer. All right. Also, another one that I like is books that you love. So I think it's really cute, and some of my friends do this, that when they have a book that like really had a big impact on them in the year that they know I'll like, they'll gift me that as well. I prefer audiobooks, so it's just a really nice touch to receive something that might be really meaningful from that person. They want to pass that on. So if I was to do that this year, I'd be gifting Untamed by Glennon Doyle, because that is just, that really rocked my world this year. Food that you make and then wrap up nicely, like in cellophane with like a little bow or whatever. It's really cost effective. And you know, I think sometimes it's hard in a workplace, especially when you feel like you have to get everybody a gift. If you just made some really cute Christmas brownies or some Rocky Road, you know, some like Christmas cupcakes, whatever it is, and sort of bring it in for the office to everybody to share, COVID safe, if you want to wrap them up individually. You know, I just think that that's really special that you've put some time into baking something and it won't break the bank. Now, if you do want to do vouchers, I feel that it's better when you're more specific about it. So maybe something like a streaming service voucher. Like if you know that they don't have Netflix or they don't have Stan or something like that, getting them a voucher for those. And although like a $50 voucher for those can actually get like a few months. Do you know what I mean? Like I always think like, oh, fuck, it's like 20, how much is it? Like $15 every month or $12 every month. But then when you break that up over the like a few months, it's only like $50 or $100 for a long time. So you can get someone like 6 months worth of a streaming service, which I think is pretty cool, especially since there are a lot of people who have like limits. It's like, no, I've got Netflix. I can't be getting another one. So I think it's nice to, you know, get someone a bit of a splurge. That's the same with any voucher. Like I feel like it should be a bit more tailored rather than just like, here's a Visa voucher. And I get it. Some people like to receive vouchers because they can spend the money how they want. I prefer for it to be sort of more specific because I think that has a less impersonal touch, you know? That sentence made no sense, but I think you know what I'm saying. Mr. Consistent pre-mixes. Now, I tried one of theirs the other day and I think that pretty much every single one of theirs has some sort of orange in it, apart from a new one that they're doing with Surf Stitch. It's the blue one. It was bloody delicious. And I've just sort of started getting into the idea of pre-mixes. It just takes out so much of the work. There's so much shit that goes into making cocktails. Now, obviously, my Whisper cocktail is worth every bit of the effort. But there are some, it's like, do I really need to go into the effort of squeezing 15 fucking limes for 3 drinks? Do you know what I mean? And limes are so expensive. So giving someone the gift of like a pre-mix, especially this season where you're going to lots of different parties and sometimes people want to have a cocktail but they don't want to lug around like all the different ingredients, you know? So Mr. Consistent is really good because you just like have the drink there, you just add the alcohol that you want to it and you're done, and they're all really delicious, great quality, great different flavors. So I've heard some of them have an orange, so I can't try them. But my staff rave about them. Something really little that's cute for a stocking stuffer is a pop vinyl. So if you don't know what that is, they're sold at places like JB Hi-Fi, and they're like little figurines with like big heads, and they're probably only like, I guess, like 10 to 15 centimeters tall. And you can get them in all the Disney characters, all the Marvel characters, all the different games for like PlayStation. You know, there's royal ones, all different categories. I myself have many of them. Sam has like a whole collection of Harry Potter ones. I have like Alice in Wonderland, Sleeping Beauty, you know, Little Mermaid, all those kinds of ones. And then I also have like just favorite movie characters and TV shows. So I have like Selena from Veep and Sydney Bristow from Alias. And then I have, you know, Ursula, or I have Winifred from Hocus Pocus. Like I just collect them, put them on my windowsill. They don't really do anything, but I just really like it. And they're like $15 to $20 each. I think they usually sit around $19. And if someone's really obsessed with, say, The Office, or they're really obsessed with Iron Man or whatever it is, there's usually a pop vinyl for it. And it's just something like really cute that just gives them a shout out to like, I know you're obsessed with this show, so I know you personally, but I didn't have heaps of money. It's just $19, something cute for their desk. A Polaroid camera. That's something that I want every year as well. And something that I can't bring myself to buy myself either. I always am like, I want a Polaroid camera. Then I'm like, oh, will I use it? Is it a waste, you know? But I feel like it's a good thing to buy for someone that they wouldn't buy for themselves. Polaroid cameras are just a bit of fun, especially like if you give it to them just before a party and you give them film, give them extra film so that they can like, you know, bring the batteries, play it, you know, use it there and then at the party. It's just like fun memories. personalized beach towels, I think I discussed earlier. And then also like quality time, I think is a really good one. So just saying like, oh, like I'd like to have like a cheese and wine afternoon at Burley Hill, or, you know, let's go out for dinner. It's on me. Sometimes when you can't think of anything, just taking them out for dinner and paying for their dinner is really nice. It's the same as buying a present, but you at least get that quality time with them and you didn't have to like think outside the box with the gift thing. You know, you have to wrap it, write a card, the whole thing. It's just nice to spend that quality time. So that's also a good idea. A massage gift card I think is nice if you know someone that like really deserves a massage. AirPods if you've got a bit of extra dosh. I think everyone's loving AirPods at the moment. Again, with the like packs from Lush and the Body Shop, they do some great packs with bath bombs and things like that. A nice wine decanter for the wine lover. Also creating your own stuff. So a few years ago, Belinda, my friend, bought me I think it was on Vistaprint, they make a West Wing mug for me. It was just like a white mug with pink on the inside. And it just had a list of all the surnames of my favorite characters from the West Wing. And then on the other side, it was like a quote. And so she made that. Like, I can't imagine that that would have been any more than $30, probably even less given it was Vistaprint. But it was just like such a personal touch because now every day I'm like, oh my God, my favorite West Wing mug, you know? I think that that's like a special thing. I also did last year, I think, for Secret Santa, I got Aaron and we could only spend like $20 or $30 or something. And so I got him socks with the Chainsmokers face on it because he's obsessed with the Chainsmokers. So sometimes you can just get those funny gifts that are like, you've really thought them through. They're not super expensive, but they are quite personal. A Yui Boom is always really good, especially for people who go to the beach or are doing a lot of travel this time of year. A HomePod Mini, I just got one the other day. I think it was $149. It's so good. I can just be like, hey, Siri, do this. Hey, play this. Turn this on. Reply to this message. Just so good to have one of those in your home. The large ones, I just felt like I wasn't going to bring myself to spend $450, $500 on a speaker when I already had a speaker in my house that worked like through Bluetooth, but I couldn't like command it to do anything. But now that I can command it for $150, it's so worth it. It's amazing. Frank Green ceramic reusable cups. I think this is a really nice, like it's similar to those keep cups kind of thing, where it's like if someone has like, it's a nice sort of more luxurious water bottle, or if they drink coffee and stuff in the morning, it's good for the environment. And they have like really cute designs that you can choose from. And then just, yeah, the usual beauty packs from Sephora and Mecca that they have this time of year. So those are the kind of like gifting recommendations that I have when you're just not sure what to get something. Some of those are like just really good go-to easy things. If any of those have sparked your interest today, jump online right this very minute because Black Friday sales are on and like, you know, why wouldn't you try and save a buck, you know, more bang for your buck. Also, James Cosmetics has a great Black Friday sale that you should jump on. Who doesn't love a bit of eye mask, face mask? You know, we've got sheet mask, liquid mask, so many different things that you could give to your friend as a gift. Give the gift of good skincare. We love that. So yeah, those are kind of like where we're headed. What have I done so far for my gifting? Nothing. That's where I'm at. I think I'm potentially going to Sydney with the family over Christmas. So I think we might just give mum and dad shopping money. That is their favorite gift of all time. They love to get money to go shopping with. So I think that we'll probably get them that. Sam has asked for money because he's collecting money for his birthdays in January. So he'll get money for that and for his birthday, and then he's going to pool it together and buy himself something that he really wants. So he'll get that. I never ask for money because I like surprises and I like gifts. So I hate getting vouchers and I hate getting cash because I really like the whole concept of like opening up a gift that someone's really thought about from me. I love that. And I just really love surprises. So I like that whole process. But you know, sometimes there are vouchers, like I got a massage voucher last year, which like obviously I do really like, but I don't really like getting like Visa vouchers that don't really mean, they're not very specific. Like obviously I'll use them and I'll spend it, but it's like I probably would have already spent that money anyway on like that Zara dress or whatever. You know, I just feel like it's good to have something that you might not have like bought yourself kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I've got one small part of Belinda's gift. And then for the rest of my friends, I have nothing so far. Usually I have all these ideas in mind by now. I've just got nothing this year. I don't know if it's because like I've obviously, you know, been working really hard and like haven't really taken time to like stop and think about this stuff, or I haven't been listening to my friends this year for what they want, but maybe I'm going to need to refer to my own list, you know. I don't know, but yeah, that's basically where I'm at. So that is my Christmas episode for you guys. It's a bit of a hard one because, like, you know, I think everybody knows these movies. They know these songs and these TV shows and stuff. It's kind of hard to talk about it on a podcast, but I thought I'd just share it anyway just in case maybe there's something you haven't watched before or something where you're like, oh, my God, I remember that episode of that show. I should go back and watch that or whatever it is. So I thought I'd share that with you. All right, this week's Thought of the Week to close out is Christmas isn't a season. It's a feeling, and that's from Edna Ferber. I don't know who she is. I'll probably get messages from you guys being like, you don't know who Edna is. All right, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'll be back Tuesday with a new app, but in the meantime, spread Christmas joy and protect the skin you're in. Oh, my God, I just had the urge to go, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. But we're still in November, so I won't be doing that. Anyway, follow me on Instagram at Courtney Mangan and at She Was The Fire, and subscribe, share, do all the things, and I will speak to you in a few days. Bye.